Let's discuss another of the US interventions in British political life now. You heard Sir Geoffrey talking about the, I suppose, the temerity of the US State Department to say yesterday that ideological conditioning and two-tiered policing are glaring symptoms of civilizational decline. And then, of course, tonight or tomorrow morning's front page of the Times, Vance links teens' death to invasion of migrants. How clear is the evidence of a two-tiered justice system in Britain? And if it exists, who benefits and who suffers? Let's speak to Jose Pina Sanchez, a professor in quantitative criminology at the University of Leeds. Jose, hello to you. Welcome to the programme.
Hi, hello.
Hi, welcome. Yeah, you've led research commissioned by the Crown Prosecution Service into this whole area. Now, if claims of two-tier policing driven by DEI and so-called woke ideology were true, what would you expect the data to show?
Well, I would expect to see at the system level, you know, the probability of white British suspects, the probability of being charged being higher than for all other ethnic groups. I would expect to see similar, you know, disproportionalities or inequalities at different stages of the criminal justice system, like the probability of arrest or the probability of receiving a custodial sentence or the duration of a particular sentence, a custodial sentence being longer. But what we do find is exactly the opposite. We find that all the data is pointing at white British population being favored in a way, or not favored, or, you know, like all these different metrics pointing at the favor.
Right. Can you tell us what the difference is between the likelihood of being arrested or charged and then getting a longer sentence if you're white versus if you're of an African, Caribbean or Asian background? These are really important statistics.
Sure, yeah. So I've got a few of them right in front of me. So when we look at decisions of charge, right, made by the prosecution, right, the CPS. So for white British, and if we divide this into five, six different ethnic groups, for white British, we see that the probability of charge is the lowest. It's at 78.6% of cases that they receive from police, right, and that end up being charged with crime. At the other extreme, we've got black suspects for whom the charge rate is 82.9%. And we've got all these other ethnic groups somewhere in between. That's just to do with prosecutions, right, and charge rates. If we move to sentencing, we see similar figures, like slight degree of disparities, but always in favor of white British. That's not to say that there's discrimination against all these other groups. For that, you know, we need to actually take a step further and delve in more detail and, you know, unpack those statistics in a bit more, in a more measured way and doing, you know, like more in-depth analysis. But what strikes me is that when you are presented with this data, how can you infer that actually the group that is being disadvantaged or is being discriminated against is white British? I think that's a ridiculous proposition, really, that doesn't hold any kind of scrutiny. Really.
But how can one account for those differences, which are not huge? I mean, if 78.6%, if there's a 78.6% likelihood of white British people being charged versus 82.9%, we're talking only about 4.3%, so almost within the margin of error. What do you think is going on?
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, we need to look at, you know, how strong, right? I mean, how strong those disparities are. And in this case, when we look at prosecution, it's probably not strong enough for us to claim, at least at face value, that there is discrimination against any particular group, because, you know, like those are within the margins, as you say. I mean, like those, even if it's small, those disparities could be accounted for all the a wide range of different factors. I mean, like one that I'm thinking of at the moment is when we think about prosecution, could be, you know, like whether the suspect collaborated with the prosecution, what the quality of the evidence, the different types of crimes that different ethnic groups engage with, and a sort of a range of other legal factors that could be explaining those disparities. So my point is, those disparities are we don't know whether they are legitimate or illegitimate. We need to get into that additional analysis. But also, you know, like, let me push back. You mentioned that, you know, those disparities aren't too, the ones that I've just cited aren't too wide, and I agree with you. We've just looked at prosecution and sentencing. If we look at all the stages of the criminal justice system, like, for example, the use of force from the police, which is probably more relevant, right? I mean, to this case that we're
discussing. Yeah, because we're talking about street encounters, aren't we? That's
exactly,
the people are jumping
exactly.
on.
So in that case, if we look at all incidents recorded by the police, and this is data from the Home Office, it's not like scientific literature, right? So anyone can go and check it. If we look at all incidents recorded by the police, let me just get it in front of me. We see that if we compare the probability that a given incident escalates into the police using force, and if we compare what is that probability for black suspects versus white suspects, we see that black suspects are more than five times more likely to have force being used against them.
Wow, five times.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not a minor, right? I mean, yeah. Anymore, a minor difference, which again, we couldn't entirely conclude, or I wouldn't be able to tell you right now whether that disparity is completely evidence of discrimination, of pure discrimination. There might be, the story might be more complex than that. However, you know, to take that, or, you know, to neglect that statistic and to make the point, or to conclude really that, you know, that actually the group being discriminated against are white British, that is what I find preposterous, really.
All right, preposterous. Jose Pina Sanchez, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And Jose is a professor in quantitative criminology at the University of Leeds.